Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So I will come home, have to be a mom and, you know, do that. And then when it came with him, with the fighting, it was, I remember I told him, like, if you're going to hit me on my sides, my legs, because you keep hitting me in my face. I have to go to work. They're asking questions. I'm my son's school.
You're actually
yeah.
bargaining
yes.
with someone that is abusing you.
Yes. He would punch me in the face. And it got, I got so familiar with it, I forget that I have a black eye. Burned the cigarette from my face, spit on, kicked, punched. I mean, I've been through a lot in this relationship. I was that girl who judged domestic violence like, what? I would never. Are you crazy? Until I became that person and it's like, oh shit, like, I gotta kill this nigga.
What's good? My name is Chris Styles. It's Trapping Anonymous. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you, everybody that's been supporting our movement and help blowing this channel up. Please subscribe. Please comment. All of the wonderful things that we say so that we could continue this this great show. I thank everybody and all my guests and all my listeners and people that share and retweet and repost. And I can't thank you guys enough. And I'm going to keep doing it every episode because it means that much. Please follow Trapping Anonymous on Instagram. Follow Chris Styles on Instagram. Don't forget to listen to us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a message, a nice note, something nice, you know, keep us in tune. I got a special episode for you today. I think it's going to hit a lot of people at home. And just remember, the stories that you hear do not necessarily reflect real life. They hit entertain, they hit to educate, and hopefully keep your little homie off the streets. It's only entertainment. Don't get me indicted. My name is Chris Styles. Let's get it. How are you?
I'm fine.
I don't know if you're familiar with my episodes, but I always jump right into them.
Okay.
Take me to the time you first experienced domestic violence.
Me personally or?
You, personally.
The very first time I experienced it, I was about, was I 27, 28? And I met someone who pushed me and pushed me so hard I fell to the floor. And I feel like instead of me taking that as a sign that something's wrong, I made an excuse for it.
Now, was this an instance with the guy that you were dealing with or?
Yes.
Okay, so it never happened before then? The household that you grew up in, did you witness domestic violence?
I did. I did. My dad, you know, I had an amazing father. Unfortunately, he was on drugs. And sometimes when he was, you know, he took it out on my mom. So I seen my dad hit her quite a few times.
What was the worst this guy between them from what you recall as a child?
I remember my dad actually went looking for a babysitter because my mom needed help. So once he, quote unquote, found babysitter, he started sleeping with her. She got pregnant and had a kid. So my mom kind of went crazy in a sense.
Yeah?
Yeah. So my dad told her, like, listen, this is my child. Like, you have to accept it. Accept it. You have to let her in the house. She has to be around her siblings. And my mom would fight with her mom. She was a girl. She would have knives. They would go at it outside. And my sister and brother, we would just watch it from the window. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your mother never left your dad?
Nope. The only time she got a sense of freedom is when he died.
Oh, wow. When did he pass?
Gosh, I had to be about 7, 8 years old.
He was still young.
Very young.
And how did he die?
He overdosed.
On?
Drugs.
Oh, just...
We'll just say that.
Okay. Yeah. Was there a sense of relief for your mom? Was she like, well, you know, he got what he deserved? Or was there like a sense of compassion and just like a heartbreak?
I was really a daddy's little girl. Like, my dad would take me everywhere with him, even when he cheated on my mom. Like, I was just there. So when he died, I felt like she was relieved. I don't want to use the word happy. Yeah. But I felt like it was like, oh, God, now I can breathe. Yeah. And I saw her do something that just changed me forever. I don't know if I should get into.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember, well, back in the day when I was growing up, it used to be like people would come around and shampoo your carpet, mm-hmm. samples. And I knew my father was dead, but I was hearing the same noises in the bedroom and it was just like, wait, I know my father's not dead, so who's in there with you? And I'm hearing these noises I normally hear from you and my dad, you know?
Sex.
Right. So once that happened, it was just like I lost all respect for my mom, and I was like about 7, 8.
How long after your dad's passing would you say another man was in there?
I would say, I'm not sure if it was before or after the funeral, literally.
And as a kid, you can't really conceptualize what's going on. You don't understand marriage. You don't understand what it's like to be in an abusive relationship, to have that relief, to have children.
Right.
You don't really understand.
Yeah, absolutely right.
But you crucified your mother for it.
I did.
Do you still crucify your mother for
it? I don't at all. I think going through what I went through, I understood the things that she kind of did now. Was it right? 100%. No, she could have went about it a little bit more, you know, quietly in a sense, but I totally understand.
God never lets us go blind, right? Or dumb. Like he makes sure that we relive every emotion that we harbor for somebody else, that we'll have it for ourselves, and we'll be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this is what, fast forward to your situation.
Okay.
So he pushes you.
He pushed me, yeah.
And this was like after an argument or?
I think it was like a disagreement. I noticed he always tried to tell me what I could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And me being so independent, you know, at the time it was just like, wait, you're not going to, you know, I'm going to speak up.
Right.
And once I did, I guess he didn't agree with my response. He pushed me and I fell to the floor.
And did you say like, yo, what's up? Or?
Of course.
And he was just like, yo.
Just made an excuse like. You know,
my bad.
I don't think it was an apology or my bad. It was just like, don't challenge me in a sense. Like, don't. Yeah. So it was just like, wait, what?
So you said you thought that you should have saw that as a sign of like.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead, you saw it as a.
Oh, it's okay. He didn't mean it. Oh,
okay. Gotcha.
Like, all right. I'll sweep that under the rug this time. Like,
does any part of you believe that? Because you grew up around it, that it's just sort of associated to why you felt like it was sort of okay?
No.
In that moment?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Me growing up, I was like the it girl. Mm-hmm. I was so wanted. Like, everybody wanted to talk to me, be my friend, be with me, date me. You know, I had a sister who was very popular. I was always under her, so her friends, you know, were cool with me, wanted to be around me, so on and so forth. So I never had an issue with rejection or like anything like that. So
this isn't rejection, right?
It's not rejection, but it was just like instead of me being smart saying, you know, Michelle, he shouldn't be pushing you, he shouldn't touch you, it was like, oh, he ain't mean it. I'm tough, I'll deal with it.
When does it happen again?
Gosh, soon, often, many of times.
When did it become from a push to maybe a punch or a slap?
It was a point where I thought I could leave. Like, I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm in a normal relationship or a situation. until I noticed he would be outside my house when I'm going to work, be outside my job, and when he would continue it. And it was just like a fuck, like he's not taking no for an answer. So I kind of made that an excuse, like, oh, you know what? Let me give him a try. Like, he's trying, you know. So I don't know. I just think that he just tried to control me. And when I would try to stand up for myself, the punches, the slaps, the so on and so forth would happen to me.
Did you ever fight back?
Oh, yeah. Which was, I don't want to say pointless, but he's bigger than me. You know, at this time, fast forward, I had to plan an escape out of it. What he used to do was be outside my job, hiding in bushes. So as I'm planning an escape out of it, I said, you know what, maybe if I cut my hair off, he can't grab my ponytail, you know, and, you know, stop me. I noticed he would run up on me and take my purse, my shoes.
What?
Like he'll, and I'll be there like fuck, and I would have no ID, like all my things would be
So
gone.
he would randomly run up on you, pull your shoes off,
Yeah,
and run
like
away?
he would say, you know, come with me, Michelle, or let me talk to you. And when I wasn't entertaining it, these are things he did. So I stopped wearing the extensions. I cut the hair. I threw like a those bags that you throw over you instead of, you know, carrying a tote bag. I never had a wallet. My shoestrings, I always made sure were tight. Like I always prepared myself after work, before going to work, because I knew he would be around somewhere.
How long were you with him during this domestic violence? How long did you make excuses for him? How long did you say, you know, it's okay, you know, all right, you're getting better, he's not going to be like this forever? How long did you sort of play that game
This was like maybe 5, 6 years.
of that consistency?
Yeah, it'll be like maybe a week time. I'll have like maybe 2 days before he picked something and it just went left.
But you were still with him.
Yeah, I did love him. And I always, like when I first met him, I saw potential in him. So I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm at this point in my life and I feel like he has potential. It can work. But then I got tired. I got tired because I'm going to work busing like 8, 12-hour, 16-hour shift. I'm a mom. I had a son. I have a son.
Not with him.
No, not with him. So I would come home, have to be a mom and, you know, do that. And then when it came with him, with the fighting, it was like sometimes I remember I told him, like, if you're gonna hit me on my sides, my legs, because you keep hitting me in my face. I have to go to work. They're asking questions. I'm my son's school, you know.
You're actually
Yeah.
bargaining
Yes.
with someone that is abusing you.
Yes, because nobody helped me.
Was this because of your love for him? Or was this just because you felt like this is the way your relationship was? Why don't you just say, you know what? Let me get the fuck out of here.
Okay. It was times. I mean, I told myself, like, all right, I have to make a paper trail. I have to get police involved. Because he's gonna kill me, or I'm gonna kill him. But once you do that, you have this man that's probably watching from the bushes, seeing police, you know, in front of your house, knowing that, okay, now they're looking for him. So in the whole time of that, them finding him, he's harassing me. He's coming to my house 4 in the morning, kicking in doors. He's doing all these things where police are not going to get there quick enough. But I did it. I mean, I fucking took the steps and I said, you know what? I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
Were you afraid of him?
Of course I was. Absolutely I was.
While y'all were together, did you ever cheat on him?
No. The only time I was able to step out is when he'd end up doing a year behind me. He eventually got caught and they gave him a year. And I
Got
had
caught
like
for what?
it was a time where, you know, I was making the reports and
Oh,
he would
okay.
kept hitting me or whatever. And
Yeah.
then, you know, he turned himself in and they gave him a year the very first time.
How long into your relationship did that happen?
Shit, I would say maybe the second, third year.
So, this guy puts his hands on you. You're making report after report after report.
Yeah.
He goes to jail for a year for putting his hands on you. He comes home and y'all are back in a relationship.
Yes. He comes home.
Why?
I don't know. I felt like, again, the excuses. I mean, I told you I did love him.
Of course.
And I felt like, all right, you went to prison for a year for hitting a woman you supposedly love. You're sorry. You're not going to do it again. You know, I'm thinking like, okay, you learned your lesson at this point, but it was the fucking total opposite. I think it was worse.
So while he was in jail, you were with someone else?
Yeah, I tried to date. I didn't get into a whole full-blown relationship, but I was trying.
Didn't? You weren't over him?
No.
Okay. And he obviously is talking to you from jail. I'm sorry. I'm a better person.
Yeah.
He's giving you the jail talk.
Definitely. Definitely giving me the jail talk.
And you're falling for it?
Yep, absolutely. I'm falling for it. He was all I knew. I didn't have a chance to step out and date or cheat. I couldn't.
Yeah.
He knew everywhere I was at, who I could hang with, who I wasn't. Like, he was in control.
Your prior relationships, they weren't like this, though.
No.
So why at 28 did you feel like this could be something you could deal with? If no other, you know, sort of relationship leading toward this, you ever tolerated? I'm sure it was probably a big no-no for you, especially from growing up and watching that.
I think at that time, with me having my son by myself, and my son's father not helping and literally was around the corner, like my life just spun out of control. So I was dealing with depression and being a mom and finally feeling what rejection was, because I never felt that until my son's father came in the picture. So it's like, oh shit, like somebody telling me no, I'm not. And it was so different for me. So I felt like I have a baby, you know, now I have to do what I gotta do, and this guy is showing me attention, and okay, he's giving me extra attention. He's being so nice, so kind. So, you know, why not give him a try?
Had he been to prison before meeting you?
He'd been to prison when he, I want to say prison, I think he was like 14. He was a kid and did like 6 months or something, but no prison time, no.
Okay. And no evidence of like old relationships, old women coming up saying, you know, that guy's abusive, that guy hit me, or him telling you stories of, you know.
I found out later before, because he got sentenced to a 4 to 8. So he's in jail right now. That was the end of this story. I went hard, paper trail, all types of shit I've been through, but I got him in there. So that's why I'm just here right now, breathing and whew, right now. So before he went in, because I think he got arrested either twice or three times before they gave him this 4 to 8 behind me. And I think I was in a park with my son, or I was doing something, and I met someone and we started talking, and then we started sharing stories, and it was so similar. And I'm like, well, what was his name? And then when the person said his name, where he's from, I'm like, oh shit, this is the same person. So I found out that he was kind of a loose cannon in a sense. I even reached out to his kid's mom. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's wrong with this guy? Give me the 411. He's not leaving me alone. And she was like, I don't know. Like, yeah, he did crazy shit. But once I called the police, he stopped. He wouldn't contact me. I had to talk to his mom for him to see our son. I don't know what it is about you, but I never dealt with that. So I was kind of just lost. Parents were cool, very nice people, understanding, loving. I don't know where this guy came from, but yeah.
Do you forgive him for what he's put you through?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably not. He destroyed so many relationships I built. Like, I have an older sister, and she was my best friend. And I really believe that this guy watched me, because I feel like abusers kind of plot. They want to take out the strong people in your life because they need control. So if you have anybody strong who's going to be like, well, you're not going to hit my sister, you're not going to do X, Y, Z, they can't really have that full control. So what he would do was he would know my son would be at her house. He would punch me in the face. And I got so familiar with it, I forget that I have a black eye. So I would go to her house and, hey, I'm here to get my son. And she looked at me like, yo, mind you, she has a daughter. So when my niece saw me, she's like, Auntie Shell, what the? And I'm like, fuck, like, I forgot I have a whole black eye, but I got to get my son. And my sister just backed off, like, completely. He took her from me, and she was, like, the most important person to me. I don't think people understand that. Like, these guys, this is what they want. They want you, they want your family and people who love you and around you are tough. And my sister, she's tough. Her husband, like, you know, they're very well known, you know, but he had to remove them so he could have full charge of me. And I would always say, like, I can never do that. Like, I was that girl who judged domestic violence, like, what? I would never. Are you crazy? Until I became that person, and it's like, oh shit, like, I gotta kill this nigga. I lost everybody. I lost a lot of shit. I'm trapped.
I had a close relative of mine. Was in like a long-term relationship with an older guy. Mm-hmm. And he was sort of very manipulative, very controlling, this and the third. And this went on for years to the point, like, she was ashamed of even talking about him and, like, bringing him up because the situation was very tumultuous. One day I said, let me talk to him. Hmm. Right? This is after years of them. So let me talk to him. We had one conversation and they never spoke again.
Wow.
So when you bring up that point of they want to separate you from anyone especially strong-minded and willed in your family and sort of disconnect that lifeline or make it so that they're not around that person, let me meet him. Let me see him. You know, and this is why family is so important. Right. Because everything else will dissolve. Hmm. Everything else will dissolve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Friends, relationships, and all that. Family is all we really have. So, I don't know what your relationship is like with your sister now, but even if you just gotta, you know, be the bigger person, fuck it. You know what I mean? We think we got time. We got time. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But be the bigger person, you know? What can a woman look out for? What are the red flags? What are the signs? We need to give people that warning. There's somebody listening right now that needs to hear your story. They need to hear your words. They need to hear what you're saying. That conversation that you had with that woman in the park with so much familiarity, like, someone is getting that right now. So what do you tell that young lady or young man?
Well, I had to educate myself. Because I had to figure out what the hell was wrong with this man. You know, like, he's nice and then he's not. He's so hot and cold and his hot gets hot. So I started reading and I came across this word called a narcissist. I didn't know what a narcissist was. And I felt like he really fit the description of that.
It's a very popular word now.
Yes. Everything with narcissist people, that was him. Control. Manipulation. Oh, nobody's gonna love you like I do. Nobody's gonna care about you. You're ugly, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, shit, like, you start to believe because they're so good at it. So my advice is that first hit, like, that, it, you should not be around for a second one. It was so many times I could have lost my life. I mean, gosh, the things I've been through. I was burnt with cigarettes in my face, spit on, kicked, punched. I mean, I've been through a lot in this relationship. And
it spit on?
Definitely, definitely. The worst was the burn to the face because it, the pain just was unbearable.
Like, he took
a cigarette. Yeah. And the crazy thing is he did it in front of his uncle. It was a situation where my sister, I have a younger sister. In fact, the half sister I told you about in the beginning, he did something where I left my house and she's so tough. She thinks she's so tough. She's like, I'm going to stay with you, Shelly. Like, no. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to get involved. This guy's crazy, you know. But she's like, no, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be there. And I actually put my sofa in front of my door one night just to make sure he couldn't come in. But I was skinny. When I tell you I lost weight, because I always was chasing him from, I mean, I was so small. If I fell asleep, that sofa was moved. Like, you know how you put a chain on a door? Somehow he put his hand through and gets the chain off, and he's pushing very slowly. So he comes to my apartment, starts fighting me. My sister tries to call the cops. He takes her phone. He's out. So I'm like, fuck, I got to go get her phone. So I chase behind him. He's gone. She's damn near crying. And I think it was my first time standing up for myself. I said, you want your phone? And she was like, no, Shelly. And I'm like, fuck it, we're going to get your phone. Went to his house. His parents, well, his mom had like a two-family house. Grandma downstairs, him and her upstairs. And for some reason, this time, all the family's there at his house. I knock on the door. I'm like, yo, your son has my sister's phone. His mom's like, Michelle, he was with us the whole time. Okay, moving on. He finally comes outside, and his family's outside at this point, and I'm asking for the phone. He approaches me laughing, takes a cigarette, and burns me. And as I'm falling, his uncle is catching me, and I'm like, do you see? He's doing it in front of y'all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck can I make up? Like, the black eyes are not. He's doing this in front of you all. And it was still like, oh, well, and it was just like, fuck it. I don't think I left until about 7 a.m., With the phone. So
I know we spoke about your son being there and being a witness to a lot of the fights or some of the instances. Was there a conversation that you had with him? Was there something, was there a time you sat him down and just was like, all right, listen, mommy is going through a very tough time? Or, you know, did you try to paint a picture for him in sort of the most, you know, softest way so he's not brutally harmed by, you know, what he had to witness, but and still, like, what did that conversation go like?
Yeah, I definitely tried, because I think my son was 7, 8. He was young. He didn't really know what was going on, so I tried to make it as soft as I could. But, you know, I told my son, you know, it wasn't, that's not right. However, I didn't tell him, like, oh, he's horrible, he's a monster. It's just, like, sometimes people make bad decisions. Even when it comes to his father, I keep it very calm. You know, your father, eventually he'll, you know, do what he has to do. But for right now, you know, some people are not mature. I keep it very calm with him. So now, him being 10, he actually has a nickname for him. Oh, God, it's called Criminal Minds. You ever saw the show? He refers to him as Criminal Minds. Like, Ma, what happened to Criminal Minds? And I just, I laugh about it, and we laugh. And it's just like, you know, people go to jail when they do bad things. So that's where he is. So we have more of a open relationship with that. He doesn't bring it up often. You know, it's been quite some time, you know, but he'll bring it up here and there.
Did the father ever come back around?
No,
nothing. No conversations, no help, no assistance. Did you put him on child support?
I did put him on child support, and I've been trying to get him off for a while. Not because I feel like he's a good father. I want no contact. I don't want anything. So I noticed that, because I did a podcast, and I feel like now that I'm gonna kind of be out in a little bit, like he tried to reach out, but not about his son. It's like,
what was it about?
Well, I didn't respond. I left him on read. He contacted me through social media, and I have no response for you.
How do you know it wasn't about his son if he didn't respond?
It's never about his son. In the past, when I tried, it never was about him. Yeah. So I want to leave that chapter closed. And when my son gets of age, if you want, of course, you have every... But while I'm in charge, the toxic, I'm not... No, absolutely not. We're in a good place right now. My son and I. So I'm going to protect his innocence. Though back and forth, in and out his life, I'm not going to tolerate that. Yeah.
Challenging question. Playing devil's advocate, one might ask, well, you having the son around, all of these instances, how is that helpful, you know, to the child? And what do you sort of say to those critics? It was just like, well, you know, maybe the son needs a father in his life, and
Son, he needs consistency. That's what he needs. He needs a male in his life where it's like, you know, I know you thought things with your mom, you know, that's not right. And, you know, That's what a son and kids need. His father is very inconsistent. He's still young-minded in a sense. I feel like some men, they have to grow.
Is he younger than you too?
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Yeah, no.
But, like, mentally, yeah.
What would he say about you?
The only thing I think he would say about me is the excuse is child support. Hmm. Yeah. But I did, you know, try to, you know what? Okay, I'm going to play your game and I'm going to go.
So you do
forward.
Receive money every month?
Well, no. I haven't received money in maybe like a year.
Okay.
So, yeah. So when I brought my son around him, I noticed it was like a
resentment there.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. not love. Hey, how you doing? It was just a he's here and he's here. Mm-hmm. His mom would more so kind of be there and talk to my son.
Yeah, it's a great
you know,
child.
But the father with no relationship, it was very. I was nervous. I'm not leaving my son with you, knowing that I feel like you don't care about my kid. It's mm-hmm. not going to happen. So, a situation took place where my son was damn near kidnapped with his mom, his grandmother and father. And that was it. I washed my hands.
And that's when you said, okay.
You're not, because, you know, he has a girlfriend or had a girlfriend at the time when we were kind of existing. Fine. I need someone who has sense to make sure my son is good. So they came and got him. And the father, I was at work, called me. Oh, why his knee is ashy? What? I'm at work and you're, what are you saying? Like, you would pick at me with certain things, and it's just like, yeah, no. But once my son almost was kidnapped in front of my face, that it was over.
And how did you and the child's father fall out?
How did we fall out
mm-hmm.
after that situation?
Not after that situation, just in, like after y'all relationship. Obviously, he had a kid. I mean, y'all had a kid together. There was a relationship there.
It wasn't. It wasn't a relationship.
There wasn't?
No.
It was a mistake?
I don't want to say mistake because my son, I needed that kid.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That mistake is a terrible word. But it wasn't like...
It wasn't planned.
It wasn't planned.
We'll say that. Yeah. It wasn't planned.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't planned. And unfortunately, I wasn't a female that was getting pregnant regularly. So I went to a doctor. I was told, listen, you're not going to...
Wow.
And it was like, God. He was a friend of mine.
Right.
I didn't like him like that. Mm-hmm. I told him from the jump, you know, I didn't like him like that. But we could be cool. Mm-hmm. Got into an argument with a friend I used to go to school with, you know, a girl. I ended up moving with her. We got into an argument.
He was there.
You know, he wasn't there. He asked me to come over. I don't want to get into, you know, detail, but I was drinking, put it mm-hmm. that way. It was never, hey, let's kiss and hug and all that shit that people do.
One and done?
Yes. And I end up pregnant. So it was just like, why the fuck am I was told I can't. I hate this motherfucker. He like, how the hell? So I had to make that decision. So that's, it was hard.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, fuck that. I'm out of here. No, yeah. But I couldn't.
Take like, your one.
How am I going to go
cancel
that? Can't. And I might not be. No, I couldn't do that.
Do you feel like it's the case where the police don't protect people that are in these positions like yourself?
Absolutely.
You know, I know sometimes they say, oh, okay, something happened. It's like, well, it has to happen again in order for you to, the police to get involved, or we have to catch this person. Or they're not really doing their job. It's just like, mm-hmm. Talk to me about that process of actually trying to get the police to.
It's hell. It's hell because for some reason, this man kind of outsmarted them. He would pop up when they leave. He would. And it was interesting because one night he was in my apartment and terrorizing me. I ran outside. I see two officers walking. I'm signaling them like, yo, please come. I have this guy. And this lady, she's kind of laughing at me. And of course he gets out. He runs off. And I'm like, fuck. So they end up calling backup. And I'm cursing her out. She was a black woman. And I'm crying. I'm like, yo, you're going to get me killed. Like, you could have saved me. And then when the other officers arrived who are familiar with my case, they're like, yeah, it was order protection. I had about 13 order protections.
Before you could even get to the point of locking him up?
Yeah, 13. That shit was nothing.
It's a piece of paper.
Clearly.
The way you keep describing him just taking off and running away, I have the wildest image in my head
oh, yeah.
of him just like doing something and just like running away.
Running.
even you doing something like this, mm-hmm. are you fearful for your life? Are you fearful for sort of speaking out and sort of putting the ball back in your court and taking control of your story, your narrative? You know, that's what I think these episodes are about. Mm-hmm. So are you fearful that?
I'm not. I feel like I have to let this out. Mm. I have to get this off my chest. Like, this is my closure in a sense. Mm. I mean, I'm counting down a day that he gets released. definitely. I don't know what's going to happen, but.
You're afraid of the day he gets out.
I'm a little nervous, yeah.
Are you going to go back to him?
Absolutely not. I might not even be in New York.
Has he contacted you?
No.
So this is the first time he's been locked up because of you and mm-hmm. y'all haven't been in contact?
No. Yeah, first time.
What was the last straw?
I mean, I went hard. I went to court. Juries involved. I took the stand.
Wow.
I really took this shit to the next level. Like, I needed him away from me.
Getting on that stand, are you looking at him in the courtroom?
Was he present? He wasn't there in the courtroom, but I did go for his sentencing.
What was that like?
It was horrible.
He looked at you.
He looked at me. They brung him out, and I was, you know, the DA, of course, I had to work with. And she said, you know, Michelle, do you have anything to say? You know how you could say words or whatever. And I did, but I didn't feel comfortable reading it. So she read my letter. Mm. And it was really heartfelt. It was just like everybody was like, shit. And I thought that this man would at least say, fuck, like, all right. When the judge said, do you have anything to say? The man said, lock her up. How do you know she's not doing things to me? And it just, what the fuck? There was no type of remorse. It was no type of nothing for me.
He's almost like okay with going to jail.
I don't know about being okay, but I don't know. I just think he's a fucking idiot. I don't know. I can't tell you.
Earlier when we spoke, you said he would attack people that you were with.
Yes.
So now...
Yes, definitely.
And I want to go back to the story with your sister. Because mm-hmm. the one time you stand up for yourself mm-hmm. is when someone else is being affected. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't protect myself, but don't fuck with nobody else that...
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny how we do that, right? Like, it's like... This one person, you could terrorize me, but if you dare lay a finger on anybody that I love, you know?
Yeah.
And you and your sister, y'all still good? The half-sister?
We're cordial. We speak here and there. But
it's not what it should be.
No, I think we kind of took opposite turns in life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he would terrorize the people. And so men?
Yeah. In fact, it's definitely a story behind a man.
What happened with that?
I don't know if we have time. Long story short, like I told you, he would be outside my job and hiding. I threw my son a birthday party because he got me kicked out of my apartment. So I had to live in a shelter for a year. And while I'm there, I'm just stacking. So I said, you know what? I'm going to reward my son, give him this extravagant party, which I did. And I just knew, like, I had to watch my back because, of course, police were involved. However, he's on the run. They have to catch him. So real quick, I hired a host, and the host was a friend of mine. And I had to go pay for something. And he's like, Shelly, I'll take you. And I'm like, no, I'll get there. He's like, no, I'll take you. And I'm like, you know, I have a bad feeling, but, you know, fuck it. He ends up coming to my job. I get inside the car, and here goes my abuser running straight towards me.
He comes running out again.
Yes. Yeah. Running straight towards me. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's about to get insane. So gets to the car, opens it, snatches my shirt off, rips the hair out of my head, jury try to get my phone, but I'm fighting dear life for my phone. Telling my friend, please pull up, pull up, pull up. But he was such in shock.
You can't believe it.
He could not believe what the fuck he was seeing. Eventually, he pulled off, and I'm like, please don't stop, because he's going to follow you. Go straight to the police station, please. Of course, he stops, because we have red lights and things like that. Came at me again and punched him and took his cell phone.
Punched a guy?
Punched a guy and took his cell phone.
That guy probably never talked to you again.
It was some time. Yeah, it was some time.
He had to heal from that.
Definitely, yeah.
You have a son.
I have a son.
Your son had to obviously witness some of this.
He saw some.
What were some of the things that he had to see?
It's interesting because he had a son as well, and they were around the same age. So I would keep his son when he would come for the summer. And, you know, we'll do little things, movies, beaches, things like that. And I don't know what happened at the particular time, but something went wrong and he attacked me.
In front of?
The kids were in their room, but they heard the commotion. The apartment was small. So they came out, and he done ripped my whole dress off. So it was just like a, what the hell is happening?
What is his reason?
Maybe because I'm not doing what he wants me to do. I'm talking back. I'm not going with him. I'm not listening to him. I'm having an opinion. I'm having a voice. Shit like that.
There will be times... Obviously, you know him, his demeanor, his character, how he acts and this, that, and the dirt.
Right.
Do you feel like you were ever in a position where you would egg him on or where you would be like, you know what, I'm tired of this, so let me push your buttons. Or let's bring the animal out. Let's fight today, you know what I mean? Or do you feel like it was always a matter of him just flexing his bravado and his manliness and just being a dick?
I mean, you have arguments with your partner. These things happen. Y'all can disagree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in my situation, it was like, I couldn't. And I'm not going to pick at a bear who can fucking kill me.
Mm.
He was bigger than me. I was small.
Was he older than you?
No. I think he was maybe 2 years younger than me, actually.
He was younger than you?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Huh.
But when I first met him, I thought he was older. Like, he carried himself a certain way. Like, I would have never thought he was younger than me.
Do you ever think about what happened in his life to make him this way?
Yeah, of course. I started, you know, I'm definitely an investigator. I started asking questions, talking to the mom, even trying to talk to him, you know, get him in a good mood and kind of talk to him. And I found out certain things. I found out certain things. I'll put it like that.
Okay. How did y'all meet?
He was friends with my brother, and he always was around. At this time, I was living with my mom, and I seen him, and ever since he saw me, he just wouldn't, like, leave me alone.
What was, like, the wildest sort of imagination that you've had about, like, harming him? How far did your imagination go with that? And how far did you go with it?
Can I say that if I did something that, I imagined, and I tried to put it in play, I'll say that, but it totally went left. Mm. And I thank God that it did, because I probably wouldn't even be here speaking right now.
Mm.
That's how left I felt like I was losing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take care of it. Nobody else would, so I had to.
Mm.
And
I asked that question because I think about, like, the movie Enough with J-Lo.
Everybody says that when I mention
that's the only thing that... When it comes to domestic violence, I feel like there's no movies that depict a woman fighting back.
Yeah.
Or just trying to, like...
And plan. Like, you really have to plan to get out of these situations, mm-hmm. or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't think there's no other escape of this. You're going to end up dying because a man is going to hit you the wrong way, push you, shoot you. Something's going to happen. He's never going to stop. It's not going to be he'll change. Or no, you're going to die.
What was your PTSD like now after he's in jail? After, you know, do guys try to, like, talk to you now, and you're kind of like, oh.
Listen.
Or a guy try to hug you, you're like, ah.
I think he was in there for a good 6 months. I'm still jumping. Mm. If you come near me and touch me, I'm jumping. My friends, you know, who I did have, it was just like, they were annoyed. Like, what the fuck? He's gone. Mm. Stop. And it's like, it's not an act. I'm nervous. Mm. This man was always on me or popping out somewhere. So I always was jumping. After a year, I kind of calmed down. Like, okay, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. How much more time does he have left?
How much more of that time? I would say about maybe 3 years, four, maybe. I don't know how prison works. I don't know good behavior. You know, I'm sure he's in there being the best man he could be. Mm. So I really don't know.
He ain't hitting women.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
How's your dating life now?
Non-existent, really. I'm not. I feel like what I did wrong was once he went in, I tried to date and be with somebody and look for love. I didn't get the help I needed. I didn't give myself a chance to heal properly. So I'm doing that now.
So you ever miss him?
I think about if we had a relationship without the abuse, where we could have went. But miss him? No, I don't miss my life that I had. Absolutely not. No.
What's something that you would tell the younger you that gets pushed to the ground for the first time and says, you know, he's sorry, this will get better?
Run. You should have ran. You should have took that as a sign and not make an excuse.
Like what did she tell you back?
No, he didn't mean it. It's okay. Give him another try.
Has anyone else ever called the cops as a result of the arguing, the fighting going on in the home?
Yes. I had neighbors who heard and called the cops often. Yeah.
And what was those visits like? I had a family member that used to have fights with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And it would just be a pointing match. Like, oh, well, she hit me first. And, well, y'all don't see what she does to me. And, mm-hmm. you know, it becomes sort of... So what was, like, the result of, like, that sort of police visit?
Well, when the cops were called, he never was there. He always made his escape.
This guy.
It was never your side, her side. It was like just Michelle's side because he's gone. Because he knew his evidence and things that he did. He would put his hands on me. I'm standing there with a black guy. He would do certain things where it's like, yeah. I remember a time he attacked me in Walmart. And I thought I was safe. And I wasn't. And my younger brother was in my apartment at the time. And he ended up calling me like, yo, this guy's in here fucking up your shit. He was terrified of him. He was young. This man put all my purses, my shoes, my jackets in a tub, bleach, kicked in my apartment was done because he knew police was, you know, involved. And
your friends must have been tired of you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. They.
I feel like friends don't get the recognition that they deserve when it comes to these situations, obviously because they're not the ones firsthand dealing with it.
Right.
But they are going through the emotional roller coaster of trying to be there for you, of you not listening, of telling you to leave, of you agreeing to leave, and right. then going right back. And uh-huh. then that cycle, that vicious, vicious cycle, like, can you speak about that? How do you feel about that?
I feel like it's hard to watch your friend be abused. It's hard to watch your friend be taken advantage of. It's hard, and I get it. But I don't think nobody will understand until they're in that situation. I feel like it's so easier said than done. Yes, leave. Yes, get up. But you're not the one that is dealing with someone kicking in your door 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Calling your phone off the hook like a fucking alarm. I mean,
what if they say, I would have blocked him, or I would have just not answered the door, or you know, someone mm-hmm. did try to do that to me. You know what I did?
No.
I stopped talking to them. You know what I mean?
How can you stop talking to someone that's making his presence known? There's mm-hmm. no, I'm gonna lock my door. That mm-hmm. nigga is kicking in my door. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe 12 doors I had to replace. Mm-hmm. Remind you, I'm on the top floor. He's kicking in the first floor mm-hmm. to get in the apartment to come kick in this. There was no I'm gonna block my phone. He's calling you private all night fucking long. Like,
what's something you wish you'd done differently?
Never met him. Fuck. Never dated him and thought that, okay, I can change him. That's what I did wrong, and I wish I can change. I feel like my sister and I would still be joined to the hip. I feel like my friends, you know, we wouldn't have had a relationship where it's like, yo, I have to back off. Like, I have friends who had to step off. They could not see me go through it. And it's just like a don't leave, but okay, I get it. Like, I have to go through this shit by myself, obviously. I had to get out myself.
The thing that made you say, I'm going to put him in jail, that place that you finally found yourself at, how can you help someone else get there, if you can? Because when you can't make excuses for him anymore, when you want to tell someone, listen, I've been through it, you can't change someone. They're going to do what they want to do. One, tell us about how you got to that point where you could fight back and say, you know what, you're going to jail. And then tell us about how you got there and what other people, the steps they could, you know, do to sort of get there.
I just got tired. I got tired of getting my ass beat, making excuses for my bruises. I got tired of being in situations where I'm losing my life, maybe here, there, tomorrow. I just got frustrated. I just kind of just looked in the mirror and just started, you know, telling myself, like, you know, you're worth more than this. It was times I was thinking about killing myself because I felt like I was trapped in this life and I'm never going to get out. I made some really horrible decisions, even trying to hurt him to get out, hurt myself to get out. Just been through so much shit with this man. And I thought about my son. I just feel like when we have kids, nobody's going to raise our kids the way we raise our kids. I don't care. The grandmother, the aunt. Yes, I trust you, but nobody's going to raise our kids the way we are. So thinking about my child, it was just like, nah, I know he's going to come for me full force. Once I go get the cops involved and I'm going to trial, I'm doing this, but I have to get out of this shit the right way.
Have you ever considered therapy for everything you've been through?
Now, yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, I think what I should have done was once he was in, get myself help and heal properly. I did the opposite. I went looking for a relationship and I'm a whole beast now. He turned me into a whole monster. So I'm looking at a nice guy like, yeah, a little something wrong. You're a little too nice. And it's like, wait, what? Like, what
Some
do you want?
People are nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I got the help I needed, I would have known better. So that's what I'm doing now.
Getting the help that you need.
Getting the help that I need.
What's something about you that people don't or wouldn't guess?
I'm a super nice person. I feel like because of everything I went through, and on top of that, I was already like tough. I'm a Leo, so I'm just very aggressive. I'm kind
well,
of
Leos
a boss.
Are tough and aggressive.
Well, I would say, but I'm really a nice person. I mean, well, I love hard. I want everybody happy. If I can help you, I would. Even in this situation, I feel like it has to get out. I'm sure women are going through these things right now and they feel like, fuck, like how I felt, like, damn, I have to kill me or kill him to get out. But it was another way for me to get out and I'm here now and he's not. So kind of won in a sense.
I hope we're not doing any follow-up episodes.
Oh boy.
You know,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. I mean, listen. Now we're talking about you coming home from prison and I would hope you don't look for me. I would hope you don't put yourself in position because I won't have any choice but to defend myself. And I really mean that. I kind of put that behind me now. My son is happy. He's growing. I'm happy. I'm living. I'm, you know, trying to do things with myself. I don't want you coming home and give me a reason. I'll put it that way.
This is Trapping Anonymous. My name is Chris Styles. Let's get it.